Well, we're continuing this morning in our series in the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 13 today, verses 22 to 30. As we have been teaching through the Gospel of Luke, the Jews of that day thought that since they were children of Abraham by birth, they assumed that they would automatically be taken to heaven and be a part of God's kingdom. Last week, we listened to Jesus addressing them and addressing all of us that unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. This morning, Jesus is continuing to teach by showing that the way to eternal life is through a narrow gate. Today, many people have a similar assumption that they assume that since they're basically good people, they haven't murdered anyone, they provide for their family, they go to church, and they're always helping people, they're good to go. They're on the road to heaven is what they think. However, Jesus is teaching us that the way to eternal life in heaven is a narrow gate and a difficult path. Listen to what he says as we read Luke 13, verses 22 to 30. Luke 13, starting at verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open!' And he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you. Where are you from?' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there will be last who will be first, and there are first who will be last." Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence today and pray that as we look at the words of your Son, Jesus, that, Lord, we would understand what he was trying to say to all of us. And I pray that we would understand that salvation is open, but there's few that are really chosen to enter. We pray, give us insight into this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. The narrow gate. The narrow gate. I'd like for us to look at, first of all, as Jesus was teaching, there was a stunning question that was asked of him, and the question is, will few be saved? Now, Jesus was taught that many from Israel will not be in the kingdom, whereas many from the outside of Israel will be. So that kind of led to the question, somebody in the crowd says, "Well, are you really saying that there's not going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be in your kingdom? Not very many is going to be saved?" That was his question. And because they had thought that since they're children of Abraham, everybody's going to get in. And I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way. And a lot of people feel that I'm a good person. I haven't done anything really wicked. And, you know, I believe that there is a God, and I guess I'm good. Jesus says, there's a narrow gate. Only a few will be saved. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't directly answer the guy's question in this passage, but the parallel passage in Matthew 7, he does. He says in Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Jesus described the broad gate and the broad way, and then he also talked about the narrow gate and the narrow way. The majority of people who live, he's saying, will miss heaven, and they will miss eternal life. You know, the question was asked to him, is there going to be few that are saved? Jesus didn't answer the question, but he turned the question back to this guy in verse 23, and he said, verse 24, he said, strive, you strive to enter through the narrow gate. In other words, you need to make the decision yourself. Strive to enter through the straight gate. You personally, it's not enough to want to or to hope so or think that, well, when it's all said and done, you know, maybe my good will outweigh my bad. No, you have to do something. You have to make this decision yourself. So Jesus pictured the kingdom as a great feast with patriarchs and prophets as the honored guests. But many of the people who were invited waited too long to respond, and when they arrived at the banquet hall, the door was shut and they were left out. Now, Jesus talked in verse 24 and 25 about the straight gate. Now, that word straight is a King James word, and it simply means narrow or small. In other words, the way into heaven is very, very small. It's a very small gate. I remember when I was 17 years old, I was in the Explorer Scouts in Indiana. And every group of Boy Scout Explorers, they have a certain niche that they like to do. We were called the Spelunkers. Spelunkers. In other words, we like to go caving. So we went to Bloomington, Indiana, and one day we decided to go into the cave. The leaders decided to, and they said, okay, here is the entrance to the cave. Let's everybody. So I was, that's back when they had carbide lamps. Anybody remember carbide lamps? You know, I had one. My uncle was in the Air Force, and he gave me his helmet, and I duct taped the carbide lamp up to my helmet, and somewhere in there it went out. Anyway, it was really dark in there. So I was supposed to go into this cave, and they showed us the entrance to the cave, and it was actually really small. In other words, you had to get on your hands and knees and crawl through that opening. I still have claustrophobia just thinking of that. And we had to crawl through that narrow opening to get into there if you wanted to get in. Well, what did Jesus mean when he says the gate is narrow? It's straight. I think, first of all, it means that it's an exclusive gate that leads to life. There's only one way to enter that gate or door to salvation in heaven. There's not different ways. No matter what person that tells you this, there's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that very clearly. If you believe the Bible, you have to believe what Jesus said. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In Acts 4, 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In 1 Timothy 2, 5, and 6, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus is not just a way to heaven. He is not just the best way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. My friend, if you miss Jesus, you're going to miss heaven. It doesn't matter how good you are, how kind you are, how sweet you are, how loving to people you are, or how helpful, or how gracious. If you miss Jesus, you're not going to heaven. That's what he meant. Straight is the gate. Also, it means it's a difficult way. And few choose the way of Jesus. The idea of denying self and following Jesus, sometimes family will not understand. In some countries, if you follow Jesus, it'll mean your life. It'll mean persecution, misunderstanding. What else Jesus meant when he said the straight gate? the broad way leads to destruction, and most people are on this road. Now, a lot of times we have in our thinking, you got the bad guys and you got the good guys. The bad guys are the ones that are breaking all the laws, and they're killing people, and they're robbing, and they're stealing. Yes, we understand that. No, Jesus says, anybody who is not a believer in Jesus Christ is on the broad road. They're on the way that really is their own self. They've chosen this life. I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to enjoy life, and that's called the broad way, and eventually it will lead to death. So we looked at a stunning question, and then we've looked at the straight gate. Now Jesus talks about the shut door in verses 25 to 29. And then he's telling this parable he talked about the narrow door and the narrow road of opportunity, but one day the door of opportunity will be shut. God is good and gracious and loving. He stands with outstretched arms asking people, come, come into the kingdom. And Jesus preached, John the Baptist preached about the Lord and his coming and his salvation. But one day, the door of opportunity will be shut by the Lord himself. And once the door is shut, no one can open the door. Whatever side you're on when that door is shut is the side you will be on forever and ever. We never know how long we're going to live. Every day you see people that are in the prime of life, that their life is cut short, and they go out into eternity. You never know when the Lord is going to come. That's another time when the door will be shut. But why is the door shut? Well, because they did not know the Savior. Look at verse 25. It says there, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and he began to stand outside and knock at the door, say, hey, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. I do not know you. The idea of where you are from is not your physical address, but your spiritual address. There were people that did not know Jesus. Matthew 7 puts it plain in verse 23, and I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let me ask you the question this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your own Savior? Have you entered in that personal relationship with Jesus by faith? It is vitally important. You can't put it off. You don't know how long you have. And to know Him and know Him as your Savior is vitally important. I remember several years ago, this is before we moved to Florida, we took a vacation to Melbourne where Donna's sister lived. And my brother-in-law, Donna's sister's husband, used to be the head of security at Cape Canaveral Kennedy Center. He was the head of security there, and he wasn't working there at the time, but he knew the new head of security. And so we wanted to take a trip to the Kennedy Space Center. This was before 9/11, 2001. Things were a little bit more open. But we were able to visit the Kennedy Space Center and actually drive on the launch pad of the space shuttle. We were able to go inside the vehicle assembly building where they used to have the Apollo rockets, where at one time it was the biggest area building in the world. It has its own atmosphere. It rains inside the building. It's so big. We got to go in there. We got to go to the place where they have the crawler, where they put the Challenger and all those space shuttles back on there. We actually got a personal tour. I don't know if they do that anymore. They probably don't. You have to look through binoculars to see now. But the only reason we were able to, we knew a guy. We knew we had a relative that knew a guy. And so when we come to the gate, I basically said, they looked at me with their guns on there, and they said, I'm with him. That was the only reason we were able to go in. Folks, when you stand before God, the only reason you're going to be let in, I'm with him. I know Jesus as my own Lord and Savior. I hope that you can say that. Well, they weren't let in. The door was shut because they didn't know him. And secondly, because they were trusting in their works. Look at Matthew chapter 7. It says this. This is the parallel passage of Luke 13. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? They were actually people that were serving, that were busy, that were doing a lot of good things and the good works, and Jesus didn't even know them. Folks, your good works, no matter how good you are, no matter how much money you give to the church, no matter how many widows you help financially with people, that's not going to be good enough. You cannot trust in your good works in order to get to heaven. They were shut out also because they were relying on their proximity to Jesus. Look at Luke 13, verse 25 and 26. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you're from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And Jesus says, I don't know you. These people were saying, this is when Jesus was alive and he was down on the earth. Hey, you came to our town one time. As a matter of fact, when you were having dinner, I sat with you. Remember that? We know you. We're close to you. And there's a lot of people today just think that, well, I go to church. I'm able to know my parents and my grandparents were believers or they were preachers or whatever. I am close to the action. That doesn't allow you to get into heaven. Today, a lot of people think that just because they can sing songs in church or go to a Christian concert or their family and they're familiar with Christ, that is good enough. That's not. Well, they were shut out also because they were just simply too late. People are always thinking that they have plenty of time. They have plenty of time. I've met people who actually said that to me, and then they died before they accepted Christ. In USA Today, they had an article on the front page about those who escaped the World Trade Center on September 11th. After interviewing over 300 survivors and family members of victims, USA Today concluded that in the South Tower, those who didn't delay and ran for safety immediately are the ones who survived. Those who delayed are the ones who perished. That's the same true with our spiritual life. Those who delay and put off their commitment to Jesus Christ often wait until it's too late. A lot of times, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, now is the time. Sometime later, you might develop a hard heart or whatever. Well, let's look not only at the shut door, let's look at the seeking Savior in verse 34 to 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is always looking. He came to Jerusalem, he came to the people of Israel and called out to them, I want to gather you. But you would not. Notice his consecration. In other words, in verse 22, he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. He was on his way to Jerusalem. What was he going there for? He was going there to die for our sin. Nothing could detract him and stop him and delay him. Even Pilate, who was trying to look for him, nothing could detract the Lord from going to the cross to die for our sins. And his compassion is given in verse 34. He wanted Israel to be saved so much. His heart was broken for them, but they would not. He wanted to gather them just as a mother hen would gather the chicks under the wings, but for some reason they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. And then he talks about his coming. He said in verse 35, "You shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Many will not be able to see him. There is a future for Israel. They rejected him there, but one day when he comes again, they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will recognize their Messiah and trust in the Lord, his coming again. Let me ask you a simple question. Have you gone through the narrow gate, and are you walking the narrow road with Jesus? Enter while there is still time. Have you made that decision? No one else can make that decision for you. Your family, your parents, your relatives, your friends, that choice which influences other choices, that will determine your ultimate destiny. I remember many years ago, my wife and I went to visit the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas. It was in that old Spanish mission in 1836 that a volunteer band of 182 patriots fought and died for what they believed. Surrounded for 13 days by the Mexican army, numbering 5,000 men, the Texans were under attack. During a lull in the bombardment, William B. Travis, the commander, called his men together and explained their hopeless military position, and the only way to save themselves was to surrender. However, there was the possibility that at night individuals might slip through the enemy lines, and he would understand if someone chose to leave. So what Travis did, he unsheathed his sword, placed its point in the sand, and walked in front of the men as he made a line in the sand. Then, in a voice trembling with emotion, he said, "Those prepared to give their lives in freedom's cause, come over with me." Without hesitation, every man, except one, crossed the line. The one that didn't cross the line was Jim Bowie. He was too sick to walk, so he asked that they would carry him over the line on his cot. In the early pre-dawn hours of March 6, with bugles sounding, the Mexican columns attacked from all direction. The Texans fought off the first attack, fought off the second attack, but the third assault breached the north wall, and the Mexican troops poured into the Alamo compound. In furious hand-to-hand combat, the Texans fought until every able-bodied soldier had bathed the earth with his blood. Only a few women and children and two black slaves were spared. That's why the cry, "Remember the Alamo," became the cry of Texan independence. The line had been drawn, and now every person who lived in the territory had to choose which side they were on. No longer could they be neutral. Everyone had to make a decision to stand with Texas or with Mexico. In an infinitely greater way, God has drawn a line in the sand. The line is drawn with the old rugged cross, clearly delineating the choice that each of us has to make. To go with the crowd on the broad road, or take the narrow trail of the cross and follow Jesus. You cannot have it both ways. It's either the broad way or the narrow way. What is your decision? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus' plain teaching. To follow him and obey his teaching is a narrow road. And I pray that God, your Holy Spirit, would speak to hearts today. If there's someone here that has never made that decision, I pray that God, you would work in their heart right now and help them to choose today to follow Jesus. Choose before the door is shut and they are left out, they are left behind. I pray that God, your Spirit, would speak to hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart and you need to make a decision, you can talk to me, you can call me, I'll be willing to talk to you. Let's stand together as we sing.